I'd like to preach tonight, if God be my help, for just a little while, on this thought, the heart of a Christian. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever considered your heart? And I preach all the time, we can look around all around us and we can look at other people. If we're careful, we can judge them and we'll say, well, this is the kind of person they are. They ought to do this and they ought to do that and they oughtn't to do this and they oughtn't to do that. But do we ever stop and look at our heart? What kind of heart do we have? Do we have a heart like Christ? Is ours a heart of tender love and compassion? Is ours a heart that's willing to give and ready, more willing to give than to receive? Amen. How is our heart? As I thought about this, I was looking about this week, and I come across this verse, and as I was thinking, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh, so is he. And I thought, wow, man, I wonder, how are we thinking today about their heart? And are we thinking today with our heart? See, the early Christians, because of their heart, because of what they had in their heart, they made a difference. Amen. I was thinking about the things that would happen. The early Christians were accused of, in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, filling Jerusalem with the gospel, or your doctrine, which was the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. They were accused of filling. Now listen, Jerusalem is a city, and they accused the disciples. They accused those that come out of the upper room at Pentecost of filling the whole city with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. What would happen if we filled the whole city of Asheville with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says the word will not go out void, but it'll find a place. It'll make a difference. People cannot get under, sit under, be under the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ and it not have an effect. Amen? So it says here that they filled Jerusalem with the gospel. Luke tells us, Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, they accused them of turning the world upside down. They said they've got this thing in whole disarray, so they've turned the whole world upside down. He said they've made life right here crazy because what they have. What are you saying, preacher? I said, what happened? It brought action. When Pentecost took place, it brought action. When 120 Spirit-filled people come out of the upper room, praise God, it changed the whole city. Amen. Because of a heart of a Christian. Because they come out full of God. They wanted Him. They longed for Him. They waited for Him. And they got Him. Amen. And when they got Him, praise God, they rejoiced with Him. They rejoiced in Him. Amen. That's what we're seeing starting to happen around here. We're starting to realize, praise God, there's a great big God. He's done moving out in. He's done booting some things out. He's taking up His boat and He's making a difference. Amen. And people around us is seeing it. Amen. Glory to God. What if 120 folks from Stony Fort Baptist Church, praise God, full of the Holy Ghost, had just spread the gospel all over Asheville? Everywhere you go, just say, hey, Pat, let me tell you about Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you what Jesus done for me. Let me tell you what a blessing I got up to church our Sunday. Amen. Let me tell you about the Spirit of God speaking to my heart. Let me tell you how God's changing my life. Let me tell you about the direction God's trying to take me in. It's not that old path I used to travel. Praise God. That's behind me. It's God. I don't want it no more. I don't long for it no more. It's a new path He's setting for me. And I'm following that new path. And you know what? It's a better path. Amen. Praise God. You know, it may not be as well worn as that old worldly path. But praise God, it's a straight path. It's a solid path. It's a stable path, praise God. And it's a path that'll lead to joy in the Lord. Amen. But they come out of there shouting, come out of the upper room, praise God, with something to say. And they share the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? It's good news, the Lord Jesus Christ. They come out of shouting, sharing the good news, the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and His resurrection. Amen. He got up. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, He said they listened and they were amazed at what they heard. Acts chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 7, He said, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? He said, they were amazed. These are just no ignorant fishermen. And why are they speaking all this amazing stuff from God? Amen. They were amazed at what was coming out of these folks. Why? Because they had a heart of a Christian. They had a heart for Christ. And they wasn't ashamed to tell it. Amen. You know, you remember when you first got saved? Now I'm talking to church tonight. I believe everybody here is a believer. I believe everybody here is saved, maybe except maybe one or two little Indians. But you remember when you got saved, praise God, you want to go tell everybody? Amen. That's Pentecost experience. Amen. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, realize you're a sinner and ask Him to save you, come in your heart. Amen. And you come out of there, praise God, walking about that high, and you couldn't wait to tell everybody you seen. Amen. Praise God. I remember I got saved and I come home, called Miss Myrtle, and we lived in West Virginia, and we had one of them old party lines. You remember them? Amen. You get on there, praise God, and you pick it up real easy and see if there's anybody talking. Because you could hear your neighbor's conversation. If Miss Myrtle was talking to Miss Noah Waybright, praise God, you could hear it. Miss Wilma Waybright's on the other end, you could hear them talking. If you want to, you cover your hand up and you could listen to their conversation. Amen. I'll never forget, I picked up the phone and I was going to call Miss Myrtle, praise God, and somebody is on there. And praise God, it was Miss Falk that lived up the road. And praise God, she was talking to somebody. I said, this Miss Falk, I said, let me just tell you, I got saved tonight. Amen. She said, well, praise God, good for you. I mowed her yard and stuff for her. Sweet old lady, praise God. She said, well, glory. Amen. And I said, well, I was going to use the phone. I was going to call Miss Myrtle. I need to tell Miss Myrtle. And they said, she said, okay. She to herself, she said, I got to get off here. So he's got to call Miss Myrtle. Well, she said, well, glory, he got saved. Amen. Praise God. It made the party line. Amen. I wasn't ashamed to tell it. Praise God. People was, they wanted to hear it. They was willing to listen. Amen. But the Bible says, when they get to listen, it said, some believe. Amen. Even to the saving of soul. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. He said, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. They heard of God. They said, what do we got to do to get this? We want what you have. Amen. They had the faith. Praise God. They heard. Some heard and they believed the gospel. They believed that good news. I believe there's a whole lot of people. I believe there's a whole world out there that's wanting some good news. We hear news every day that's depressing, sad. A lot of it not even worth telling. But praise God, isn't it good when you can hear some good news? And said they heard the news and they believed on Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible said that there was some that acted. He said, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Amen. Brother Bill, 120 people waited on the Lord, come out with the Spirit of God, not afraid to tell it, praise God, and 3,000 souls was added to church. 3,000 souls was birthed into the family of God in one day. Amen. Why? Because that some acted on what they heard. Amen. Now, not all acted, because the ones acted on the Word of God, on that good news, praise God, they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, they were some acted, but now the Bible also said they were some that reacted. Amen? They reacted. Some of them was mocking. Look back at Acts chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible said, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So they heard the gospel. They heard the same gospel that's at the ones that believed heard. But yet they said, you know what? They're just a bunch of drunk fishermen. Amen? You know, people's bad to write it off if they can't explain it. I was a witness. I was talking about the Lord. I was in a group of about three people here a while back. And I was talking to that group of people. And I was talking to them about the Lord. And they was listening, praise God. And I was talking to them about experiences of salvation, things I'd seen in the ministry and stuff, and how I've seen God move to the saving of soul and the healing of the sick, praise God, and recover the people, praise, and all kinds of things. And I was talking, and they was a fellow too, and he eased over right away. He said, I don't see how you can believe that old junk. I said, I can believe it because I believe it with my heart. I've seen God do it. I know He can. I know that my Redeemer's alive. Amen. But now these folks I was talking to, they heard it, they believed it, they were encouraged. But this fella heard it and he was a mocker. He said, I don't believe that. He said, just a bunch of junk. Amen. I said, it's not a bunch of junk. I said, praise God, it's the truth. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, He lived, He suffered, He died, and He rose again. Amen. He said, I don't believe that. I said, let me see you disprove it. He said, what do you mean? I said, they've been a great scholars all over this world for over 2,000 years has tried to disprove that Jesus got up from the grave, praise God, and they can't disprove it because there's facts, praise God. There's eyewitnesses that Jesus got up. I said, you say you don't believe in the report, praise God. You have to believe the truth. Amen. If you can't disprove it, amen, you have to believe it. I said, I believe with all my heart. I receive it because I know He did. And he said, how do you know? I said, because He lives in my heart. You know what he told me? He said, it don't even make sense. He said, you're telling me that a man that died over 2,000 years ago can live in your heart? I said, yes, sir, absolutely. Through the Holy Spirit of God, He sent us a comforter. He said, I must go away. But He said, if I do, I'll send you a comforter, a consoler, praise God, that'll be with me. And I said, every day of my life, praise God, that comforter goes with me. Amen. Well, I hope that old boy got saved. I hope God planted a seed in him, praise God. See, some will receive, some will act, and others will react. They'll deny and reject, they'll mock and make fun, but praise be to God, that don't change the gospel, not none. Amen. Praise God, it's the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we see that happen, and we see the difference that it makes. Amen. What happened here? You see, some acted, some reacted, but I want to say, there's not one of them. Now listen to me, there's not one of them that did not hear the Word of God. There's not one of them that did not react in some fashion or form to the Word of God. Amen? Those folks I was talking to, they acted, and the other one reacted. But there's not a one of them there. Now listen, not a one of them that ignored the Word of God. Every one of them heard it. Amen? That's why the Bible says one day we'll all stand without excuse. Because we've all heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've had an opportunity to act or react. We've had opportunity to receive Him or to reject Him. Amen. He's gave us that opportunity. But what made the difference in these people? What made the difference in these fellows, these folks that went up to that upper room? Now they stood on Mount Olivet and they watched Jesus go up into heaven. They seen the two angels. They said, hey, this same Jesus taken away, seen going up the clouds, will come again the same way someday, praise God. Just as He went up, He's coming back. Amen. They marched down there. They went straight into the upper room. They said, Jesus said, go there and pray and wait on the Spirit, the coming Holy Spirit. Praise God. They minded the Word of God. They minded the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went up there and waited and they prayed and they got together. Amen. Till the power come down. Amen. If anything's ever going to change in our life, it'll be when the power comes down. The power comes in their hearts. Amen. That's what made the difference in them. Amen. They were empowered because of their knowledge of the gospel. Amen. They were empowered because of the knowledge of God. The power that we have, praise God, comes from this blessed old book. The only power we have to do anything for God comes from this book. This blessed old King James Bible, it is the power and the authority of God. Amen? And they received their power from the Word. They had the Old Testament, praise God, and Jesus was with them to minister to them the new one. Amen? You know, a preacher, they didn't have the New Testament like we do, no. But they had the living Savior walking around with them. Amen? Glory be to God, what a day that was. Amen. It made a difference in them, praise God, because they had the gospel. It was a personal thing to them. They had the gospel. It was a personal thing to them, praise God. They received it unto themselves, and they had it. I want to ask you a question this evening. Do you have it? Do you have the gospel? You love the gospel? Praise God, that precious word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the most, it's the bestest thing going. Amen. It'll make a difference. They had that power because they had the knowledge of the gospel. Not only did they have the knowledge of the gospel, it's Ephesians 5 and 18 said, be filled with the, not be drunk wine, where's the next says, but to be filled with the Spirit. You know what they had besides the knowledge of the gospel? They had the filling of the Spirit. The Spirit of God overshadowed them, praise God. The presence of the Spirit of God was with them. Amen. I think the reason a whole lot of us ain't spiritual, praise God, our heart ain't right toward God, and we just don't have the Spirit of God to be children of God. Amen, like we ought to be. But they experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when they experienced the presence, they realized He was there, they recognized Him. See, it's important. Like, did you know you could grieve away the Holy Spirit? He can be grieved away very easy. It can be just rebellion in your heart when He tells you to get up and go to the altar and you don't. Or when He tells you, shows you something wrong, praise God, that you don't make right. You can grieve Him and you can grieve Him away, and He's not going to come around and you make that right. I believe there's carnal Christians sitting in churches all over this country, praise God, because of some little old something of God, a little old spat they had, has become carnal Christians and been in that shape for a long, long time. Amen. They say, well, I just don't feel no Spirit no more. Amen. Well, you grieved Him away. Amen. Get on your face for God. Say, oh God, please touch my heart. Show me where the error of my ways. Help me to get things right with You. Help me clean up the line of communication and fill me with Your Spirit again. Amen. He said, be not drunk wine, but be filled. The Spirit means to be being filled. Amen. It's a constant thing. Amen. Just putting your cup out there for Him to pour it full. Amen. You want to be filled, praise God, just ask God to pour your cup full. Praise God, He'll put you in places and situations where He can just fill you up. Amen. You can take it and be excited in the Lord. Amen. So we see this, and we see the knowledge of the gospel. We see the filling of the Spirit, which brought the presence and the power of the Spirit. Amen. And that's what helped them to make a difference. That's how they was successful in their ministry. So what did they have? Where does that all start? How do we bring that together? In our text here tonight, the Bible says that, so for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I believe it come together when we begin to think like a Christian. Amen? When we begin to think like a Christian. Now I thought about this this morning. I was sitting up there at the hospital and they were bringing all these foods through there. Amen? Brother Charles couldn't eat because he's going to do some tests. Of course, they ended up not getting to do them. But, I mean, early in the morning, that coffee and that food cart going up there, my goodness, it smelled good enough. Just want to attack it and see what was on it. Of course, hospital food ain't that great but because they don't season it a whole lot. But glory be to God, it sure smelled good. But I got to think about that. You know, the people's all the time saying, well, you know, they used to tell us when we was kids, they said, well, you got to be careful. You are what you eat. Amen. I got thinking about that. I said, what if I'm eating Brussels sprouts? Am I a Brussels sprout? I said, I don't think so. Hey, man, I don't like Brussels sprouts. Now, I like cooked cabbage, but I don't know. Anyway. But I thought, you know, you are not what you eat. But I tell you what we are. We are what we think. Amen. When we think and when we stay our mind on Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, He helps us to be that. They have us be. That's why the proverb here, and he said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I said, you know what happens? We got to think with our heart. Amen. I think a whole lot of carnal Christians today are thinking with their head, and we forgot about our heart. We need to be thinking about our heart, praise God, thinking with our heart. The thought process, praise God, that gives us an active communication to the voice of God. Amen. Where we hear what He's trying to say to, we're, in other words, in our mind, praise God, we get to thinking, wait a minute, what, Lord, what? Amen. We're afraid that we might miss something he's trying to tell us. Some little bit of guidance, some little bit of preparation he's got for us. So we begin to tune in to him, begin to look for him, begin to listen for him, begin to look for opportunities to see him. Amen. Is any of this making any sense? Amen. Or am I just out on the deep end fixing to go off? But I got to think, when we think on God, we meditate upon him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That was the great commandment given in Deuteronomy 6 to the children of Israel. And I want to say it hasn't changed a bit today. The same power is in it for us. When we think on the Lord, we meditate on the Lord, we listen for God to speak to us. He will speak to you. Every service you come to, if you're listening, he'll speak to your heart. Amen. You just got to open up that line of communication and let it pour in. Amen. If it means you got to crawl on your hands and knees from the back of church all the way to the front to get to the altar and ask God to take away your pridefulness, take away whatever it is in your life that's causing your own flesh to be a hindrance, we ought to crawl to the altar. Amen. And say, Lord, hook up that line of communication so that I can have a heart of a Christian. Amen. I believe we need to do that. I believe it'd make all the difference in our life. We'd begin to hear the voice of God again. Amen. You say, well, why, preach? Why do we want to do it? Because God did not call you to be a failure. Amen. Are you listening now? Listen. God, Brother Bill, God did not call us to be a failure. Amen. He called us to be a witness for his name. That what we do would bring glory to his name. Whether it's at the schoolhouse, where it's the church house, or where it's my house. God created me. He called me to bring glory to his name. Amen. Amen. That's my mentality. That's what I think. Am I wrong, Brother Bill? Amen. That's what God called us to do. He did not call us for failure. He called us and programming us for great success. Amen. To be successful, to be successful witnesses, to be successful Christians, to lead a successful Christian life, to have a successful Christian home. Amen. But we get caught up, and the old devil says, well, I see family X down the road, and well, they all go to church, and they all love the Lord, and they're all so sweet to each other, and they all get along, and you say, boy, I just can't have that. Let me ask you a question. How big's your God? Huh? Amen. The old devil's done got you discouraged because of what he's done. He's put in your mind that your God ain't as big as Family X's God. That your God's smaller than their God. They must be serving a God that's a whole lot bigger than yours. I want to say newsflash, there's only one. And he is a great big God. And there's nothing that he can't take care of. Amen. He's big enough to take care of everything in our lives. He's big enough to give us the same kind of life that Family X has, where they see each other, they love each other, they care for each other, and they love the Lord, where the glory is in the home. Amen. Amen. Because God did not design any of us for failure. He did not call us. Amen. He says we're supposed to make our call and election sure. Amen. Now make sure the Spirit of God has spoke to your heart, called you from your sin, called you in your sin. Amen. Amen. He calls us in our sin. Amen. He calls us to repentance. So we come out shouting the glory, praise God. And God's big enough to cover a multitude of sins. Praise God. So he didn't. He geared us up and called us that we could have success. Failure is not supposed to be in our vocabulary. When it comes to being a child of God, praise God, we're winners. Amen. We just need to start portraying ourselves. You notice I didn't say acting. We're not actors. I believe there's a whole lot of people in churches today that's trying to act like Christians. Amen. And I want to say a whole lot of us are failing miserably. Because everybody around you knows how you act out of here. Amen. Amen. Oh me. They know. They got stories they can tell. Amen. But if we take ourselves and put ourselves up our ass Christians for God's glory and pray every day. Say, Lord, help me today to bring glory to your name. In all that I do and all that's... He said, do all things as unto the Lord. Amen. Acting, reacting, praise God. Amen. So we ought to say, I cannot fail because He's with me. I cannot fail because He's in me. As long as I'm seeking to do His will. Amen. I'm desiring to do God's will. What God wants me to do, that's what I want to do. You say, well, preacher, you have to. You're the preacher. Amen. No, I don't have to. Honestly, I don't. I could come up here and put on a show on Sunday, and Sunday morning, Sunday night, go to the house and live like the devil. Amen. I could get up on Monday morning, praise God, and care and not care anything about anybody. But see, I want to be what God would have me. I want to be in God's will. I want to love people. I want to show them the love of God. I want to be there, help them, encourage them. Amen. I want to be able to influence, pray God, and let them know that there's a God of heaven that loves them, and He's promised He'd help them too. Amen. So you come alongside them, and you give them just a little bit of boost. Amen. You run here and you run there, praise God. And it's okay because I believe it's God's will to be a help to wherever we can. Amen. And so we seek to be in God's will. Amen. We seek to do what God have us to do. Amen. So that He can get glory out of our lives. It's not about what I do, but what He does with me. The direction He's given me and the way that I'm following it that makes the difference. Amen. It's a difference between a carnal heart and a Christian heart. Amen. A heart that's following the Lord. So what happens, He said, He works through me because I'm doing His will. And He moves in my heart, amen, and He motivates my thinking. I don't think like I used to. Amen. Are you still thinking like you used to? Now I've heard a lot of people say, you know, preacher, I have a terrible time. The old devil runs things through my head. I want to say, listen to me, it ain't the old devil. Your old flesh runs things through your head. Amen? Your old flesh, if you ain't careful, entertain things in your head, praise God, that don't need to be there. But I want to say, praise God, our God's big enough to reach, when that stuff comes floating through there, we can just say, Jesus, G-G, and focus on the cross of Calvary, praise God, and that stuff will just move right on through. Amen? He said, if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Amen, praise God. You don't meditate on it, you just let it ride right on by. Praise God. Amen. We don't react on it when it comes, praise God. We act on it in a way that brings glory to God. Lifting up His name, praising Him for what He does. So my thoughts become bigger and bigger toward God. I begin to think, praise God, you know, God's bigger than all these situations, all these things I'm seeing, praise God. I guess because of, I don't know. I go to hospitals. I go to different places and nursing homes and stuff. And I get so tired of death. I mean, last year I done 18 funerals last year. And I told somebody, I said, I am so tired of dying. I'm so tired of people that you love. You know, you get to know them. You get to try and encourage them, try and lift them up, trying to pray that God just be merciful, you know, and bring them out. And when He does, praise God, then you got to just say, oh, thank you, Lord. They're not suffering no more. But it's hard on this old physical body. It's hard on her mind. It's hard on her emotions. But praise God, when I get in that situation, I just say, God, I know that You're bigger than this. You're a God, Almighty God. And help me just think about how big You are and how much You love me. How much You love me. How much You love the world. How much You love the world. And how much You're able to help us all. Amen. Praise God. And it helps us go just a little further. And then you come to that next one, praise God, and you just dig in your heels, praise God, and you pray, and you see God's face, say, oh God, help us again. Help us again, God, help us, Lord. Amen. Because one day, that great big God of heaven who loves us all is going to swoop down and scoop us up in His great big arms and take us to be with Him in heaven. Amen. Heaven's going to fix it all. Praise God. There won't be no dying in heaven. There'll be no sickness over there, praise God. There'll be no devil over there. There'll be no temptation. There'll be no sorrow, no crying, no tears in heaven. We can come out shouting, praise God, But if we think upon the Lord now, say, oh God, this situation is just, but God, I know You're bigger than this situation. You're a great big God. You're my God. You're their God. You're the God of the universe. And I know, God, that this is going to be okay. I know, praise God, in my heart, because I believe it in my mind. Amen. Why? Because I've heard the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I heard the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been filled with the Spirit of God, and He gives me the wisdom to know. And I know that He's there. So I can say, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I can do all things. I can do all things. There's nothing that I can't do because of Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the one that strengthens me. He's the one that gives me the power. When I think on Him, when I meditate, when I give myself to physically and emotionally to Him, praise God, He takes over. I just become a heart of a Christian. Amen. I begin to thank Godward. He begins to move my heart. So He says, for as He thinketh in his heart, so is he. How do you think in your heart tonight? Amen. How do you think heart? Do you think like Paul did? Where I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? Amen. Where do you get your strength from? Where do you get your motivation from? Where do you get your power from? Amen. We get it from our heart. Amen. He said, He is as His heart. He thinketh as His heart is. For as He thinketh in His heart, so is He. So what He does, He said, He thinks in His heart. See, that old fellow that we read said he had an evil heart. Amen. He had evil intentions. He sat down with you to meal, but he don't care nothing for you. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad at a Christian heart is totally different. A Christian heart is one that thinks, praise God, and knows that Lord Jesus Christ is the power, praise God, to persevere, to be the kind of person that God could use in these last days. That we could give God all the glory for all He does. Amen. Lifting up His name, praising Him with every ounce of fiber of strength in our body because He is God. He's big enough. Our God's big enough. Amen. I know he's a lot of our family here in church got all kinds of different things. Our lives is going in so many different directions, so many things, so many decisions we're having to make, so many things that alarm us, that bring us to a point where we begin to wonder, begin to fret, we begin to worry. But praise God, if we begin to think upon the Lord and say, God, I know, Lord, that You're able to take care of all these situations in our lives. That there's nothing, God, as big as You are. Amen? None of our little problems is nowhere near as big as our God is. And if He can control this whole universe, cast it out in the span of His hand, He can take care of anything we have in our lives. Amen? If we have a heart of a Christian, praise God, we can get that. We can have that joy and that completeness in Him even tonight. By just saying, Lord, here am I. Amen?